Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, everybody. And I got Toni on because it's Thursday morning and it is her show time. And hey, Toni, how you doing?
Actually, it's Friday morning, honey.
I mean, Friday morning. So, see, you don't have to be brilliant to do a show like our producer show. That's what I like doing is producing shows, and thank you. I love her. She is the best, and she's one of my favorite people. You guys have heard Toni a lot of her, actually, her and her sweetheart, they've talked a lot about being the cat whisperer, the dog whisperer, and the they have heaven on earth at their sweet home. But today we're going to talk about something a little different. Toni, I'm going to share this with people about you. Toni is always working on herself. And since she was a little girl, she's just always done that. Because your life has not always been so easy, right? Not that it's easy now, but to figure yourself out, it's a journey, right? But you know, we're going to talk about shame today, releasing shame. And have you done a lot of work on yourself with about releasing shame? And I know you're in a church that really is very open and spiritual about people living in their truth and being the best version of themselves. So how did you get started on your journey and some of the things that you've had to release? And share with us about that a little bit, because I think that's an amazing story, because you were telling me that recently you went and heard a speaker who wrote a book about shame, releasing shame.
Yes.
And you went on retreats where you've had a, you know, found your you know, God and you had came together and your and the folks in that retreat, and you guys had a had an amazing awakening. So let's start with your last Sunday. I think it was last Sunday or this sometime this week.
Yeah.
You went to a church.
It was actually Monday. It was a 3-hour book, like, I guess you'll call it like a lecture. Actually, it was unlike anything else that I've ever been to. It was the woman, and she was actually had all of this stuff happen to her in her life, and I mean, she even became a drug addict, and she's actually a pastor now. And her life now is about living a shameless life and, you know, having all of these people around her that can come to grips with all of the stuff that's gone on in her life and not holding on to it. Actually begin to love themselves, and when you love yourself, then you can, you know, love others. But first, you've got to be able to forgive yourself and go on.
Okay.
That's what this was about.
So forgiving yourself, loving yourself, and releasing the shame.
Yes.
Forgiving yourself, then you love yourself.
Right.
And then you release the shame. Okay.
Right.
So.
Well, certainly not that easy.
No problem. Let me just get rid of a lifetime of that. So, yeah, a little bit of a challenge there. I get you.
Yeah.
Explain, like, a drug addiction. Do you feel like she was a drug, is it drugs, alcohol, drug addiction? It doesn't really matter, but it was an addiction, correct? Okay.
Well, and, you know, I mean, she's beginning to, I mean, she has a whole different aspect on your own sexuality. You know, she is all about finding out who you are and sexually. And being once you do that, you know, of course, I'm 70, almost 72 years old. And, you know, the body was not something to be, it was just something really to be ashamed of when I was growing up.
Are you talking about when you were growing up? I want to ask you this. That's key right there. So your body, when you were a little girl, right, or a teenager, or you were not supposed to be comfortable in your own skin. Women weren't supposed to be comfortable in their body, right? Or what does that look like? What does that mean? You weren't allowed to have sex. You weren't allowed to masturbation.
Right,
what does
exactly.
that mean?
Yes. Okay. Yes. All of that was wrong. All of that was wrong. If you had intercourse, you were supposed to, because I was a Catholic, and you were supposed to have it, you know, you could, you were not supposed to use any kind of birth control. So, therefore, I got pregnant. I mean, the first time I ever had sex, I got pregnant. So, I mean, it was just all of this stuff that the guilt and the all of the stuff that I grew up with, really shaped my life.
Your son is attempting to reach you on your cellular device.
Okay, so.
Sorry.
That's okay.
Hey, honey. Can I call you right back? I'm on the phone. Honey?
Uh-oh. I lost you. I love that. Your son's trying to reach you. Well, we won't keep you long, okay? So,
I set it up. So, anyway, so what I was trying to say is that I... You were not supposed to use any birth control, and you know, actually, the church said that basically, you know, sex was a sin.
Wow. Okay. Sex was a sin.
Anyway, it was just.
Let me ask you this: you're saying sex was a sin unless it was used to create children, correct?
Right.
Right. You could have sex then.
Yeah.
So, and you couldn't have sex. You couldn't use birth control.
Right.
And then, so sex wasn't made for showing love, for
right.
instance.
Yeah, none of that. None of that.
Okay. Huh. Wow. So how old, you're 71. So you only 72. So you were born in 1940, World War
II? Yeah, 47.
Okay, so you was a couple of years after World War II. And I know that was a big awakening then, in a sense that we were all connected, Europe and the U.S. Okay, because of things changing, but Catholic Church was a big thing there, so they had a lot of power.
Oh yeah.
And so if you had sex and you enjoyed it, or you had sex outside of marriage, or you had sex with birth control, you were a bad girl, right?
Oh yeah. Uh huh.
Okay. Were boys a bad boy for doing that, or was that overlooked in your when you were growing up?
With what?
Was boys overlooked and being ashamed? Was it okay for them to have sex
and
girls? Okay.
No, it was all bad.
It was all bad. Okay. Wow. We've come a long way. Certain things are not good, but certain things are. So
Well, my mother was gay. My brother was gay. My father, you know, he was a runaround, and so my whole life was about sex, you see, but it was not about anything that you talked about. It was just seeing them act on their sexual impulses, but you never talked about it.
Okay. All right. So that's a lot of shame. I'm doing something wrong. I know I'm doing something wrong, and yet you say it like this. It feels so good, right? That's a lot of shame to deal with and everything.
Yeah.
Now, you're gay or you're bisexual. It doesn't really matter. You're bisexual. And so you've been with your sweetheart for a long time now, 25 years, going on 26. But that was really hard for you to be gay, to be bisexual. Did you talk about that when you guys were, or did you feel shameful about it? Because you had some of your folks in your family that were that way.
Was it normal? Nobody talked about anything.
Okay. Wow.
It was not something that, you know, I mean, you didn't talk much anything, life about life, much less sex.
Okay. So you didn't talk about anything,
right?
And including sex, okay.
Right.
And so you walked around with all the shame inside about having being feelings for women, you know what I mean, and feelings for being pregnant, right? I mean, I'm sure that you know.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, I mean, I had to get married, and I married a very controlling person, and that didn't last long at all. Because anyway, he tried to force me to have sex with him, and he was not circumcised, and so he actually gave me a really, really bad PID and a really bad infection. And but to him, you know, I was just his sex partner, and it didn't matter what my feelings were or anything. So it was horrible. My marriage wound up being what my parents argued the entire time they were married, and so that's what my marriage was about, arguing. And so it wasn't long.
Okay.
I left him, and you know, I said I'm not gonna bring my son up the way that I was brought up in this constant arguing. So I left him, came out here,
and now you're happy.
Oh.
I want to ask you a question. Okay, so I'm looking at, you were born in 1947, so around 70, the early 70s, you were in your 20s.
Yeah.
Was there a sexual revolution like they talk about?
Yeah.
Okay.
I was a huge runaround. I found women, and it was great. You know, you could actually, you know, realize your sexual being. And again, you know, you didn't talk about anything. It was just, you know, you would be with one person, and then any relationship that I went into, I thought was forever. So
okay, all right, that was it forever, and you thought it was going to be forever, and when it didn't last, were you embarrassed about it? Did you feel shame about it not lasting? Did you feel like that you did something wrong?
Hurt. I was always hurt because.
Okay.
They cheated on me.
Okay. All right. So the sexual revolution was not so much a sexual revolution for you, although, I mean, in the sense of cheating or being, you know, going with different people, it was about, it was just about you overcoming depression and how you felt. And,
right.
Okay. All right. And so here's my other question to you, Tony. So you're with Dane. You guys have been together for a while and everything. And I know that you had to tell your dad you were gay, and
he has owned me for 20 years.
Okay. Was that shameful for you to not have your dad in your life? Was that hurtful?
I was devastated. Oh yeah. Yeah, because I was his daughter. I was his only daughter. He had three sons, and I was his only daughter. He went on and had another family when he went down to Florida. So my other brothers and I were like 15 and 18 years apart. But, yeah, I was his, you know, he was my hero. And, you know, he disowned me. And so, and he didn't even know his only grandson. So.
Wow. Okay, he didn't know his only grandson. So was that? I know that hurt. Did you feel embarrassed? Did you feel shameful that he disowned you? Did you feel like that you did something wrong? Did you feel that way?
No.
Okay. All right. Did you when you found out that you were attracted to women as well as men? Was that embarrassing for you to explain that to your dad or to friends and family that were around you?
Oh, honey, we never talked about anything. That wasn't something that you ever talked about. It just was.
Okay. Yeah. It just was. And you never talked about it. You never talked about anything like that.
That's
wow.
Right.
Okay. So you've done a lot of, I know you went on to a retreat. I'm going to bring it up a little bit. You went to a retreat and, you know, not too long ago, because you and your father eventually found a way to.
Yes. Yeah. His wife, the mother of my half-brothers that he ran off to Florida with, she died, and he brought her back to Vicksburg, Mississippi, to bury her. And my cousin let me know that he was coming, and so I moved. I went down there to see him, and I walked into the funeral home, and he didn't even know who I was. And my aunt had to tell him who I was, and so he was, I think he was happy to see me, because after that he told me before he left that day, or that weekend or however long it was, that we saw each other two or three times during the funeral. He said, if you want to come to Florida to see me, I'll pay for your ticket. So after that, I went down to Florida several times, but still, we never talked about anything. It was just the only thing we could talk about. We both liked football, and he lived on a farm. He had cows on a farm, and so only thing we could talk about was football, cows, and the weather. So that's the way it was my whole life. So
right.
What I would do is I would go down. I would try to go every year, and sometime around my birthday, which is November 11, and we would be able to watch football, college football, and professional football, and I would go like on Thursday and then come back on a Monday. So I didn't stay very long, and so that way we didn't, you know, we didn't have a chance. He just wasn't a communicator. He didn't know. His father left him, so he didn't really know what it was like to be loved by anybody, and his mother blamed him for everything. And so she actually, you know, beat him with a belt, and just to try to take everything out on him that her husband had left. So
right.
He had a horrible childhood, and so he did not know how to be a father. He didn't know how to be, even a man. To him, a man was, you screw anything that you can screw, and that way you show your virility.
Oh, my goodness. So it wasn't about being loving in a couple. I got you.
That's what
But you found a way to forgive him, I'm assuming, and loving you. And I guess that's
you know, like I said, I have had a lot of psychology regular psychology in school and in other psychology courses and stuff, and I finally figured it out, what he was doing. And, you know, I forgave him because he didn't know.
Right. Okay. So it's like expecting him to know Chinese, and he's never been to China, right?
Right.
Okay, I got it. Good. That's a good way of saying it. And so you had brothers, and, you know, and I know that you recently went to a retreat at the end of in November, December of 2018, and you had forgiving your brother, right? Because your brother was a jackass, I'm going to say it like that.
Yes,
to
he was.
You. Okay. And did you realize that you hadn't forgiven him? Did you realize that you didn't care for him, even though he's your brother, half brother, but still your brother? Were you embarrassed about him? Were you embarrassed about the situation, or anything like that? Take us on that journey, and how did you forgive him? Because I know that was something that that didn't come so easy, right? You didn't even realize it, correct?
No. See, Daddy, he would never let us, when I would go down there, he wouldn't let Mark and I talk, because, see, they still didn't know everything that had gone on in Vicksburg, his past life. They didn't know.
Okay.
It was like all of a sudden one day Mark had found this picture of me, my high school senior picture, in a drawer, and it was like an 8x10 picture in a frame. And I guess he asked him, and Daddy, you know, said that that was his daughter. But hey, Daddy would never let us have any time together to talk about anything that had gone on. So we didn't know each other. And
okay.
When I went down there, when Daddy was dying, he had a brain tumor, and so I happened to go down there for, I don't know, a week or so, 2 weeks, and so Mark and I tried to, you know, rekindle or build a relationship, and, you know, see, Mark, Daddy, he never knew how to be a father. And so he wasn't a father to either one of his sons. And he even thought for the longest time he made Mark believe that Mark wasn't his.
Oh, wow.
Because Mark's mother was still with Mark's dad when Daddy left Vicksburg. He and Mark's mom ran off from Vicksburg to Florida. And so only Chris is the one that Daddy was actually sure about. So, I mean, it was like Mark didn't have a good life. And so, of course, he didn't trust anybody.
Right.
So when I come down there and I start telling him all of this stuff, you know, and trying to explain stuff to him, Mark is, the way that he deals with things is he just controls everything. And again, because of my psychology, education, I realized what was going on. And the best way he could handle things is to just control everything. Well,
right.
Daddy made him executor of the estate, and ironically, he left everything equally to me and my two half brothers, which really pissed Mark off too. So, because Daddy had said over the years that he was not going to leave anything to his queer daughter. And so when they read the will and it was unchanged, then, you know, really kind of made Mark upset. And but anyway, so what he did was he procrastinated on dividing the will up. I had to go and get an attorney and all of this stuff and spend money, you know, make Martin do what he was supposed to do. And so because of all of that, I had a lot of ill feelings toward Mark because he made my life hell for a year because he just kept lying to me. You know, I kept saying, well, you know, when is this coming? When is this coming? Well, and he just wouldn't divide the money up the way it was supposed to be divided. Just kept lying about everything. And so when I didn't even realize that I had those feelings until I went to this retreat and realized it. And, you know, I was able to forgive him. And so that made things a whole lot better for me, not hanging on to that anger.
That's true. Were you embarrassed about him being your brother and treating you like that?
Huh?
Were you embarrassed about him being your half-brother and treating you like that?
Embarrassed?
Was that was it?
No, there was no embarrassment.
You were just
angry
with him. Okay. All right. Fair enough. You know, what I'm hearing you is that you accepted your sexuality. That was not really a challenge for you, okay,
right,
to be different. Okay, but you've attracted people in your life, right, that have had a struggle with being who they really are, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. Your dad, your brother.
Uh-huh.
I know some of your partners.
He was around also. He,
right.
He, of course, ran around like his daddy did. The only one that really turned out right was the second one. Mark, he ran around it with, he literally said he just screwed anything that rubbed up against him. And therefore, see, he was married. His wife couldn't have children. so he wound up getting a girl pregnant, and now he's got a daughter. And
wow.
His wife wound up dying. She had cancer, and she died pretty fast. And so now he's got this daughter from that he's raising from somebody else. And so he, you know, he's, Mark's life is all messed up because of daddy.
Okay.
Everything stemmed from my dad.
Wow. That's just scary. But you came in with a strength, and you did psychology, and you learned to forgive yourself.
Yes.
Okay. All right. And you took a lot of education and making yourself better.
Right.
All right. And you forgive your dad. You forgive your brother. And forgive yourself for being mad at him, right? You know, I guess that, you know, you let that go, loving yourself enough. That's cool.
Yeah.
I like it. So if somebody had that similar situation, what's the first thing they need to do?
Learn about the hurt. Learn about all of that. What's causing you to hurt? Number one, talk about it. You got to talk about things. You cannot not talk about stuff. So that was the basis of all of the problems that we had. Is nobody knew how to talk.
Okay.
Like, let's talk. You know. So you didn't know how. So
they didn't know how to talk, right? So they just let it be.
Yeah.
Okay.
So. But what you have to do is talk about it and bring it all out in the open, and then you can begin to heal.
Okay. Talking about it, realizing that there is a pain there, right? And looking at what's causing me this hurt, how do I let it go, and who do I need to forgive? Did you feel that you did anything to cause it yourself?
Oh, no.
Okay.
I mean, I was who I was. I always was who I was. I couldn't change myself.
Right. That's a good point there. You know what? I know why that you are one of my favorite people now. You're a good girl, I tell you. You know, so, and you're a good soul. You really are. And you have a great life. And you've had to fight for it, but believing in yourself, I think, is something that you've done. I know that you've had your own challenges with depression, and you're healing that, and you've opted for a new way of doing certain things with a natural doctor and working with your regular doctor, and that's good. And you're a tough cookie. When you don't want to do something, you're not afraid to say no. I think that's about loving yourself too.
Yes.
When you want to, okay, yeah, I agree with you on that too as well. So talking about it, finding a way to bring it out and looking at things, and that's key. We're going to be off the air in just a minute. So you guys, I tell you what, Tony is amazing. You got to see what her and her partner do. Go to EarthAngel477 on Instagram. You can find her there in her life. She lives in a beautiful place and has cats, dogs, and she knows how to talk to animals. She knows how to talk to people, and that's more than most of us know how to do sometimes. So it's all good. Anyway, you guys have a wonderful weekend. Tony, I'm going to call you right back. Bye, everybody.
Bye.